Who goes first? You go first or I go first?
I guess I go first. I'm not logged in, so I just it shows up in a different spot. It is October 18th, 2021. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast.
Oh, we are live.
Many may be confused as to who's in what order, with Dan looking unlike himself, to say the least.
I'm so sick.
What? I don't know what's going on. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley, down below on the three and the tripod on YouTube, if you guys are watching live. And then Dan James to my stage right. Stage right, Dan James.
Hello. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Good evening.
How's it been? It's been a little bit of a time since I've been on here, but glad to see you all.
Looking it has
been in the shape of health. The picture.
Yeah.
Of health.
To Brittany S's comment, it has been a minute. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Kendrick Brock, Richard Gordon said, "You guys are back. We are back." And I will say, in rare form, I just tried the new Little Caesars Hot and Ready Crazy Calzone, and it is everything that you would hope it would be. It is fantastic.
I expect nothing less.
And it wasn't hot and ready, but it was ready in 6 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quality.
From the time I got in to the time I got out, it's less time than I'll spend on the toilet. So anyway.
It's nice that they've engineered that flour to really cook efficient temperature.
The packet of rapid rise yeast is 3-4 times faster than that. It's your body's not processing that.
The best part about those pizzas is the amount of dough that's built up. You can't tell if it's stuffed crust or undercooked.
look at how open that crumb is. Now, I'm pretty sure that's cheese. I'm pretty sure that's string cheese. And they got the julienne pepperoni in the in the little calzone bites. It's good. It's good stuff.
Just the leftovers from the other pizzas.
It's better than what they do at Chuck E. Cheese, where they're taking pizzas off of people's tables and then going and reshaping them into new pizzas.
It's true.
How are you guys doing tonight? Gross. I miss you boys. I don't know. Dan, what's with the barbarian look? What are you doing?
I'm doing something for Halloween. So I think we're recording the day after Halloween, and you'll see what the hell I'm trying to do.
Huh.
It looks like homeless Captain Jack Sparrow, if you ask me.
Jack Sparrow!
What about you, Kevin? How are you doing?
Oh, this is just my normal look.
I didn't say, what are you doing? I said, how are you doing?
this is how I normally look. Doing good, man. Doing really good.
Almost time to use these.
I know.
These little Colts pacifiers that Kevin and Stacy get us.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to be rocking some Bills stuff here soon.
Now that's I'm all for cheering for the Bills on behalf of you guys, but no, my kids aren't wearing Colts gear.
How about them Braves though, right now, man?
Yeah, yeah.
Really fun to watch too. Atlanta United and Braves been great.
Been glued to the television watching the Braves games. It's been I have not watched baseball in years this intently, and I think it's just because of how good these games are.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been fun to watch.
Yeah. Like Kendrick said, I can teach the baby how to break a table.
Yeah.
So yeah. No, it's nice to be back. We've actually got some games to talk about worth talking about. We just had some schedule conflicts before. We had a couple of ugly games that we need not discuss with Inter Miami and Montreal. However, we bounced back in the correct way after international break and came away with the awesome win against Toronto. First time in Toronto, right? First time we've won in Toronto?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It's huge, huge three points there. I thought I was jotting that one down for a loss, but I'm so surprised with the way we were able to get those 3 points, just steal from them. And have you heard Mike Conte's call that he did when Marcelino Moreno scored that? All right, I'll have to find it while you talk amongst yourselves. It's brilliant. It's like he's just screaming at the top of his lungs, completely blows out the mic. And it's like,
I love when he does
Toronto,
that.
You are done. It's fantastic. Because I think this may mathematically push them out of playoff contention.
Oh, wow.
I may be wrong about that, but it really hurts their chances.
I mean, they're pretty far down before this anyway. And then they're so far they're far behind the glut of teams that are fighting for that last the last five spots in the East, right? Is that what we're up? That's what we're contending for, right? Because it's Nashville, like New England and Nashville are pretty solidly 1 and 2, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next five, it's like
next five are all separated by like 4 points or something like that.
It's fucking nuts. It's awesome, man. Like thinking about the stretch of the rest of the season, might have to try and watch more MLS games, not just Atlanta United games.
I was right. Toronto are eliminated with that loss. Wow. Oh my gosh, that is.
They're just out for blood now because they've got nothing to lose in these matches.
I mean, that's what they sort of did in the second half of the game was just.
Did we ever see the only thing I saw was like the head nuzzling that was taking place on the side, but you talking about the end of that match is like that literally all that happened with Barco, like with the whole interaction on the field that led to the red card that they just got in each other's faces, but I didn't see any like actual physical contact with one another or anything like that.
No, I mean, that was it. It was just the nuzzling. Yeah. And then I think Moreno came over to try and break it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what, I mean, the refereeing was just completely abysmal.
Dude, I don't think if you had set a stopwatch throughout that game, I don't think you went more than 30 seconds without the whistle getting blown. I mean, it was so start and stop throughout that entire match. Like it was ridiculous. It was tough to watch it during stretches where nobody could make a play on the ball it was tough. It was tough to watch.
Yeah, it was really annoying, but really justified at the end with, getting the win. To your point, Kevin, as an example, it was Achara who, made a horrible tackle on, I think it was Barco, and actually injured himself in the process of doing that, which kind of slowed the game down and he forced him to get subbed off. And then there was there were so many like blown calls. Larea should have had a red card in like the first 10 minutes with him swinging out with an arm, and he was awful. As a Toronto player, if you're a Toronto fan, I bet you love him, but I cannot stand Richie Larea. He's done that. He's been kind of the heel on a bunch of times we've played at Toronto, and I cannot stand him. Plus, he's got that punchable face. Like, he's got resting bitch face looking down on people the entire time. I can't stand him.
I feel like he was kind of a pest in the U.S. men's team's game against Canada too in qualifying a few weeks back or like a month ago too. I don't know where to like. I didn't get to watch the whole game, watch the highlights, but tell me who stood out most to you guys during this game and who like. I guess maybe take it a step back. We're talking about Barco and his suspension. Doug Robertson from the AJC, like right after the game, posted a article on the AJC website that was talking about we have the ability to appeal red cards up until we have two unsuccessful red card appeals. Right? Is that correct?
I don't know.
I think we have two appeals, and I believe the last I heard on various podcasts was we used one. I think it was Jake Mulroney.
And it was successful.
Which means we get it back. So we still have two.
Okay.
So I think you I think you all the podcasts, including us apparently, are saying that they'll probably go for it, but it probably won't be overturned based on what happened on the field.
Well, the problem with that, and maybe I don't know because we have this whatever the tribunal or whatever they do, the
disco.
What'd you call it? Disco?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the disciplinary committee. Disco.
Well, that's pretty great. I don't know if it works the same way it does with like the FA. The English FA, if you appeal and they deny it, don't they lengthen the suspension, right? Like, do they do that with red card appeals in MLS? So if
if you're unsuccessful,
you get like an extra game or something like that. And I don't know if in England it's just like whenever it's cynically appealed, just to like kind of tamp that down, like flooding the. Okay, Kendrick's saying there's no downside to the appeal besides losing an appeal. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, especially if you've only got two appeals.
No, that's fair. I just feel like, and maybe it's not the same as it used to be. I think Liverpool with one of the Luis Suarez incidents is.
Which there have been many.
Yes, hence my reason for saying of them.
Was Luis Suarez, I mean, did he ever get a red card rescinded?
No.
That thing looks very un-Luis Suarez.
No. He got his suspension lengthened because Liverpool cynically appealed the suspension. So,
well, I mean, that's because
I'm trying to remember what incident that was. But
run around biting people all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that was his way out, right? Like, he did that.
He's Walking Dead, man.
He did that in
whenever people were still tuning in.
He was done in Amsterdam, so he bit a guy. He was done in Liverpool, so he bit a guy.
Yeah, and he did it. He bit Cellini as well in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
God, such a shame because he's such an incredible. Like he might be one of the best 10 attacking players of the past 10 years, 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a Liverpool fan, I would love him.
He's an unreal talent, but like he's got to be the most unlikable player on the planet. If he's not on your squad,
if your name's not Carlos Tevez,
you know,
I don't like Tevez.
I like Tevez later in his career. I feel like
when he was out of the Premier League.
Yeah, when he's out of Manchester United. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin's deep in debate right now. So what? So obviously we need to appeal that, but whether or not that gets heard and rescinded by Wednesday is, I don't know how quickly that stuff moves. I feel like the Mulroney suspension reversal happened pretty quickly, but I also don't know if the league offices are like flooded right now or something. I don't know.
I mean, you have a bunch of games being played on Wednesday, so you think they would try and...
Expedite it.
But you know, it's MLS and it's Disco, who are notoriously terrible anyway. It'll probably just keep going.
The highlights that I saw, Kevin, the highlights I saw didn't even see the nuzzling and stuff. So I'm just kind of going off of conjecture as to like what you guys are talking about, what happened. Like when you guys see that incident or it didn't happen on the field and the broadcast. Is there anything that tells you that the disciplinary committee is going to look at that and say that the referee made a clear and obvious error that he gave those? Or is that a judgment call?
They definitely like made contact with each other. And I think that that's like the ruling. I was like, if you make contact with the head or neck, that's what classifies as that. And they certainly did that. And to your point, Tim, like in watching it live, you had to wait like 5 minutes before they even got to the camera angle that showed that happening. Cause the original like broadcast was just focusing on Josie and the discussion he was having with Brad. And then like, there was another camera angle that they went to later on that showed them like in each other's face, but they were definitely like head to head, like making contact with each other. And then there was some shoving and stuff after the fact. So I don't think that, at least the way I understand it, like it's the same reason why Joseph got the red. I think that was earlier this year
against Montreal.
Yeah, same deal where he put his head, like made forcible contact with the other player with his head. So I think that based on that and my understanding of it, I don't think that's going to get overturned.
Yeah, I think that's I mean, nuzzling, I think, is a very good description.
Of exactly what it was. We were going back and forth at each other, man.
It was a good nuzzle.
It was very good.
Like share a bag of popcorn, watch a movie type deal.
Yeah, real Lady and the Tramp scenario there.
Yeah, there was some good friction that they had going on. Yeah, but they'd been at it all game. I mean, Barco had been roasting Arrow like most of the game. I think Jared Smith said the right side of Toronto was the pink underbelly, and Bello and Barco just roasted them. They played. Bello had a fantastic game also. It was one of his better games. He had a fantastic shot against...
We had a couple really good defensive players stand out on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, Sosa almost drives one home that leads to Bello's deflected shot that you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Dan. I mean,
yeah, it was a heck of a save by Bono on that. Yeah. On the Sosa shot. It was a real crack. It was going far right corner, Tim, and Bono just dived.
Yeah, and no, I saw that was way. That actually made it into the highlights. So I will say, just to interject, Kendrick sent me the clip. I appreciate it. That was really those were red cards.
Yeah.
They touched foreheads.
They nuzzled.
They know what the
the reffing was really bad, Tim.
But it sucks so badly because Chris Smith, who reports for Atlanta United or on Atlanta United, whose tweet Kendrick sent me with the clip, he's like, by definition it's a red, which fucking that really sucks because there's no way that appeal gets upheld. It's gonna be denied.
Yep.
Because they're gonna look and say, well, technically the referee was correct, even though he did not use correct judgment in assessing that situation. That sucks. But you gotta take your lumps.
Yep.
I guess. I mean,
do we have an update on Joseph? I mean, talking about a Barco suspension, you know, the big thing that makes that even more significant is whether or not Joseph is back. And it sounds like he was nursing some sort of a hamstring injury. It didn't seem like it was really serious based on the way that Egan was talking about it during the broadcast. But I haven't seen any other updates to it yet, whether or not he'll be available Wednesday night or not.
Last I heard, Martinez was day-to-day with his hamstring. So there is a very real chance that he plays on Wednesday. It just depends on how much he can give us.
Yeah, so, hopefully he will. I feel like that could really – I mean, that's going to be – NYCFC is coming in with a lot that they're fighting for, just like Atlanta is, and they are right outside the cutoff line. I think there's 2 points in between Atlanta and NYCFC right now, and they're right on the cusp of the playoff line. So this game is a huge game for both teams, and having no Barco and nothing you can do about not having Barco, really, really hoping that Joseph is okay to go Wednesday.
Yeah, you hope so, and you hope that he's going to be okay to go 90. To be honest with you, I don't think he's probably going to be doing 90.
Michelle said apparently he did train with the team today, so that's good to see.
Fantastic. Yeah, and it's been great that he didn't go to Venezuela for these international call-ups.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just given him some time to really rehab the knee and hopefully get on some more stable ground.
Yeah, instead he was in the Delta Sky Club seats last night the entire baseball game. He stayed the entire time. His boy left in like the eighth inning, and he just stayed. He stayed and watched till the end of the game.
That's a damn good game to stay through, that's for sure.
You're Joseph Martinez. You can do what the heck you want, man.
I definitely like his odds of playing at home better on Wednesday, and especially in a crucial match. I think it's going to be a decision where the trainers are going to have to keep him from playing because of how much this means to him and how important of a match this is for us in the playoff race. And knowing that all we have to do, the way that we've been playing, we have to be one of the best teams in our run of form of the past, like 10, 15 games, right? In MLS, 10, 12 games, something like that.
Yeah, actually, Tim, if you look at the form tables on Transfer Market, Atlanta United are second in the East in terms of form. So And Red Bulls are number one. So in the
past
six games, we've managed to get 12 points. Red Bulls have got 13. I think seven of those points have come at the expense of NYCFC. Philadelphia in third, New England in fourth, DC fifth, Columbus sixth, Montreal seventh, Toronto eighth. Which sucks for Toronto because they've just been eliminated. Oh, what effort.
So Philly is a team that's starting to scare me a little bit going into the playoffs because they've really caught their stride at the right time. I think they had kind of a hiccup at the beginning of the season. I don't know if it's the supporter shield hangover or CCL or what that caused them to have a little bit of a downtrodden start to the year. And were they in Leagues Cup too? Were they one of the teams in Leagues Cup?
With
Mexico? I feel like they were. I think it was them, Seattle. There are four MLS teams. Anyway. The East is looking, it's looking kind of stacked right now. It's like all these teams are coming into their form. I mean, Columbus, who did they throttle 4-0 on Saturday?
That's a good question. Let me see.
It was
on Saturday they played Montreal and there was a 2-2 draw.
No.
Inter Miami.
Oh, I'm sorry. Columbus.
It was Inter Miami. Yeah. They won 4-0.
Columbus throttled Miami 4-0. Yeah. Excuse me. New England, I think they're going to run away with the Sporter Shield, right? 66 points.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They have 9 points on Seattle. So,
you're always touching that.
No way. Anybody's touching that.
What's crazy is that third through ninth is wide open right now. Mm-hmm. Six points separate third through ninth in the East.
And then only 3 points from eighth to tenth, too. Columbus is only 3 points behind 4 points behind the playoff line. It's nuts, man. This is so fun.
And 2 points separating fifth through ninth.
Yeah, I believe if Miami lose again on Wednesday, on next time they play, and Columbus win, then Miami are eliminated, I believe. And then 1 through 10 are still open for the playoffs.
Yeah.
With 4 games to go.
Are you just doing this all in your head? We have like an MLS playoff picture Rain Man at our disposal.
Well, Inter Miami are on 32, Columbus are on 37. So if they stay on 32 and crew go up to 40, then 8 points remaining of your, I think you got 4 games after that. So I guess you could.
4 games after.
They've been in such bad form. They would not be mathematically eliminated, but. I mean, close to it. What, they've got to play Toronto, Cincinnati. They've got to play us again, and at the Benz, then NYCFC, and then finish the season off with New England Revolution. So,
I just like to see the Neville brothers lose things, and I want that to continue. I don't want Phil Neville to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and plus, if you look at the form tables, Cincinnati are bottom, obviously, with 6 L's, and Inter Miami haven't won in the past 7 games and have 5 losses.
How does Cincinnati write that ship, man? I mean,
they don't.
It's just, it's got to be a bummer there at this point. I mean, what is this, their third year?
Yeah,
fourth, I think so.
Third year, and they finished last in 2022. Yep. And they finished dead last all 3 of their first years.
So yeah. if they finish last again, it's going to be the first time in league history that a team has finished dead last like 3 years in a row.
I don't know what the hell is going on there. I mean,
I feel bad because they've got
a brand new stadium on top of it.
They've got a very passionate fan base. They've got a beautiful stadium. I think they've got a ton of stuff that's going marketing-wise. I think their kits are nice. I think they've got, a lot to build on there. But it's just I think the ownership are crazy. And
they were one of those teams that didn't take a DP until like this year, right?
Yeah. But Brenner was a great DP pickup. It just seems like if you're going to have Yap Stam as a manager, then it's you're just throwing money in a wood chipper.
Yeah, I mean, they have Lucho Acosta too. They have Jeff Cameron, who's on the older side. But
is Garza still there? Or is he done?
No. Garza retired three years ago.
Brandon Vasquez is there, obviously. Brandon
Vasquez was there.
I'm trying to think who else is on that squad.
They also got screwed out of a penalty in the end of the Orlando game.
That's right.
Which is very unfortunate for them.
Orlando's hanging in there, man.
Yeah, they are.
Upper side of the Eastern table. I mean, they've been up and down through like upper side of the Eastern Conference down to sort of middle of the table, but they're sticking around. But they've got a pretty tough stretch coming up. They've got Montreal, New England, Nashville. They've got Montreal twice, New England, Nashville, and Columbus in their final five. So that could slip away very rapidly.
Yeah, we're just hoping for the mental breakdown of Nanny.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm looking for. Because it's, you know, if you're going to do like stupid ramen hair, it's kind of like how Britney Spears shaved her head and Nanny's just
kind of like you grew out that beard.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Dan, I am having a crisis.
Dan, if we lose 0 points from the last five games, will you bleach your beard blonde?
Well, it has.
Hannibal has entered the chat.
If we drop 0 points, it'll be after Halloween, so you can keep it and do whatever you want with it.
15 points in the next five games.
If we get 15 points in the next five games, sure.
Okay. Bleach your beard? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll bleach it, take a picture, post it on Twitter.
No. Hulk Hogan style. Bleach the mustache.
You just want
that. You keep the beard too. So it's just bleached right here, but everything else is dark.
So you're talking like New World Order Hulk Hogan.
Oh, yes.
Not the original yellow swimming trunks.
Talking about, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Jimi Hendrix intro Hulk Hogan.
I got you, brother.
God, I would love that. A bleached mustache, but everything else on the beard stays normal.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I'll do that if we get
15. How's the pinky, by the way?
Pinky's doing good. I had the pin pulled out today, which is great. And so hoping it's just going to stay nice and straight and heal up good.
Wow. Starting to get a little bit of feedback, Kevin.
Yeah, that's right, Kev.
From your speakers.
How's this? Is this better?
That's beautiful. I don't know. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think so. You're just going to hold it like that the whole time, like a ring announcer?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Just suspend it from the ceiling. Just have it come down. Entering the corner with a disgusting beard, wearing the wavy bacon kit, it's Dan James.
So we had a question in the trap, and I'm trying to find who said it. I just want to get your guys' opinion. Elliot Beaven, Moreno better than Petey, yes or no?
Yes. However, some of those shots this past weekend were very reminiscent of Petey Martinez, just wildly off frame, with no rhyme or reason to it. But overall, I think he is a much better player, particularly for Atlanta United, than Petey was.
Well, I mean, saying that, he of his seven total shots, he did have four on target, so that's still like over 50%.
Yep.
But yeah, you're right. Some of them were. It was like the Sosa shot, the Bello shot, and then Moreno skies it.
Yeah.
I do like that he's adventurous. And what's the advantageous? Or no, what's the?
I mean, I can't even. I can't believe that of the shots that he had this weekend, that the one that he scored on was the one he scored on. Like that was the least likely to actually go in.
I know. Bono was having an incredible game as well, and just to let that worm burner just dribble in.
What was that?
I think Bono gave up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice that it was scored on Kamar Lawrence, though, as well. I mean, he just gave up on
Kamar Lawrence, who should have been sent off in the first 30 seconds of the U.S. Jamaica game. Did you watch that match by chance?
I did not.
Paul Ariola had a breakaway within like the first minute of the match, and Kamar Lawrence tripped him up. Referee did not have the constitution to give him a red card, and he just gave him a yellow card. It was total bullshit. But anyway, yeah, it's always good to see Kamar Lawrence lose or get humiliated. Can never be mad about that, I don't think.
Yeah.
What are you drinking, Kevin?
Sazerac. I was just thinking, it's been a couple months since I've had some out of this. And it's just nice whenever you've got a couple of different bottles in the bar. Some maybe more than a couple of bottles. And whenever you have something you haven't had in a while, and you're like, damn, this is really good. I forgot about this. That's a good one.
I'm having the same thing with the Four Roses small batch.
Yeah. I was sitting here like, man.
I drink more of this.
I need another bottle.
I should call it sick tomorrow.
Yeah, this one might be gone by the end of the week.
Awesome. Mm. Yeah, so Tim, back to your question. Yeah, who was your standout players? For me, I would definitely say Barco was great, very industrious, dribbling around all the place. But Moreno, I thought he had a fantastic game, even though he was skying a couple of shots. He was really filling that box-to-box role. Had excellent. He was one of our highest rated players. I mean, 89% possession. He had four successful dribbles. He was all over the place. So I was very pleased with Moreno. And also, I have to say, Alan Franco and George Bello played some excellent stuff. Obviously, George Bello was the more attacking of the two, but Alan Franco has been a real integral instrument to the defense's attitude, I feel like. I mean, he's got that, you know, Miles is very sort of put together and very
calculated.
Calm and calculated, absolutely. But Franco is like, he'll ball you over. He's like more adept in the dark arts and is ready to not bite you like Suarez, but like just, you know, put the hip check in there, stand on your toe, that sort of stuff.
Professional stuff. Professional defending
professional,
stuff.
Yes. Right. Professional defending stuff. So I've been very pleased with Aaron Franco. I mean, I'm hoping he's a guy who can be here for a long time now.
You would think so, right? Like career trajectory with his age and everything, it's one of those guys you think is probably here for the long haul, right?
Yeah, he's 25. I mean, maybe. I mean, him walks. Miles is probably going to go, I'm assuming.
I think but with George
Campbell in the ascendancy there in the center back pairing. So we've got a fantastic defense. They had a really great display on the weekend. Brad Guzan with that killer save. I mean, that really sealed the game for me.
Well, Brad Guzan was going to be mine since you had talked through half of the rest of the lineup as being standout players. So there goes that. So Dan has named no less than 8 players in the lineup that stood out to him this past weekend. Tim, which one of the last 3 do you want to take?
I guess Sadic gets it for me.
I mean, he put in a decent shift.
I think it's unfair of me to say, like, that was more my question to you guys because I didn't get to watch the full match, but like watching the highlights, the goal from Araujo I thought was cheeky as hell, and
I don't think he meant to do it.
No
because it took a deflection off his right foot. Like he hit it with his left, and it deflected off of his right foot. Like I think he meant to put a light touch on it, don't get me wrong, he wasn't drilling it. But I think that was just a happenstance chip that played out really well. I don't know. I feel like he didn't do that on purpose, though.
Yeah, in the press conference, he said it was not what he meant to do. Oh. But then he pointed out saying, you know, I've had a lot of really good ones get saved. So
yeah,
I'll take it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
But it was great to see it happen to Toronto as well. Yeah. You know, because I feel like the first half of the year, we would always have those sort of stupid things go against us. And it's nice to see that things are kind of coming around.
Yep. Yep. No, I agree.
Kevin.
I thought the grass did really good.
It held up.
The linesman did great. I thought the field, yeah.
Oh, it held up really well.
Yeah.
Well, it was great to have Ibarra back.
Yeah, that's true. True.
To have some more solidity in the defensive midfield, you know, it's not just Sosa anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that there was a lot of good to come out of that game. And since Dan's belabored every player at this point, I think that I'll at least talk about the offensive chance creation as a standout, that there was a lot of shots in that game and a lot of really well-placed shots. You know, it wasn't just a numbers game where they were taking shots for the sake of doing so. They were consistently, I felt like, on frame more times than not and were threatening pretty consistently, albeit against a struggling Toronto team, but a Toronto team that at least had some glimmer of hope of trying to get back on track and obviously having Josie back into the lineup and everything else. So for Atlanta to kind of snuff that out and then to consistently be creating chances, which it didn't look like that was going to be the case early on. I think like 5 minutes in, I don't know if that was Pozuelo or who that was that had the shot that went off the crossbar really early on. I was like, oh man, this is this might not go Atlanta's way. But I mean, shortly thereafter, it seemed like the rest of the night Atlanta was just knocking on the door. So to get two of them to go in by happenstance, considering the quality other shots that they were trying to make go in, the two that they had go in that were kind of fluky, at least were, I felt like, representative of the match as a whole with the number of shots and the quality shots that Atlanta had throughout the night.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto did have access to all three of their DPs in Altidore, Pozuelo, and Soltaldo. I feel like they've been, I mean, they coming into this, they had had a decent run of form. They'd climbed up. They were, I guess, not so much resurgent, but in their last five, they'd won three and drawn one. Yeah. So they were really coming into their form. But I feel like this was a really good statement win. I mean, Toronto are a decent team. I'm surprised that they have been doing so badly this year.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of great players. They've got a strong squad.
Yeah.
So, I mean, part of that's probably because they haven't been able to play in their home stadium until like 2/3 of the year because of COVID, without being able to do the back and forth over the border. It's going to be what I see in Soteldo. I'm not looking forward to playing him regularly in a normal year. I think he's going to be pretty deadly. But to your point, Kev, we had a total of 17 shots, 9 on target, which I thought was great.
That's over 50%.
Exactly, man.
That's what you want to be. You want to be on that side of things, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's the show, guys.
did anybody watch any of the Hudson River Derby?
No.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it.
So people in the trap were saying, I can't remember who.
Is it okay if I talk about it, Kevin?
Whatever you want.
Who was it? Somebody was saying something to the effect of like, it was Carlos Rangel. Carlos Rangel was saying, if the New York players don't get retroactive red cards, then these red cards should be rescinded from the Atlanta United Toronto game. I'm not sure what happened. That game's always super contentious though. Are you drinking Liquid Death, Dan?
I am. It's my new thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing you're drinking the sparkling.
No, the still.
Oh, so it's just water. It's just canned water. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Somebody, Shane Gillis, was on a podcast that they had liquid death. He's talking about, what is this? Coffee? He's like, no, it's water. It's like, it's water. It's called liquid death. What is this, from Flint? Like, yikes. That's really good marketing going on over there.
Big
they do have good marketing. I mean, it looks either like an energy drink or something dying, that's like dude.
That looks like a Modelo Especial, right? Like that's what that looks like. Man. Yeah.
I tell people it's like a 12% beer.
God, so great.
Oh, but no, I didn't get to watch any of the game, but Red Bulls are now what in their level on points? 40 points.
Is Red right? Bulls are now level on points.
With NYCFC in like 9th or 10th?
Oh, yeah. Good call, Tim. They are.
Yeah. So that might be dangerous going into the playoffs, because if their form continues the way that you were talking about, Dan, I didn't realize that they were so on such a tear.
So, I mean, part of Red Bull's tear is they've played NYCFC three times in the past five games.
That's fair.
So that's kind of weird. And but at NYCFC, they just haven't, they can't buy a goal. They've had 53 shots in their past five games and have one goal to show for it. One goal.
That's pretty amazing.
So, I mean, but the thing that I worry about when things like this happen with teams that are on runs of bad forms and they end up playing us, is that's the game where they're like, all right, we've circled this one. We're just going to go for it. Because, you know, I feel like everyone brings their A game to play Atlanta United. And, you know, even if you're in a bad run of form, form's always temporary. And, you know, there are just some weird things that can happen within a game that can flip it on its head. And you end up, you know, you end up with an Atlanta loss or the opponent's win. So I worry about these games. Really, on paper, if you just go by current results, we should smash them. Because if you look at the form tables again, which is my favorite thing to do, you know, they're in 11th and we're second, so we should easily beat them. But there's all these random wins that will come up here and there that all end up flipping the game. So I'm hopeful we should do, but then there's always something that's going to happen that could happen. But then I'm part of the game when they played against Red Bulls on the weekend, Jesus Medina was on the 6-yard line. He got a pass straight to his feet and he just looked at it. And then the defender just tapped it away from him. It's like, what are you doing? I feel like he's had a terrible time at NYCFC. So I don't know.
Yeah.
What do I want to talk about now?
What do we got? What else?
Squid Game.
I'm halfway through the first episode, so that's good.
It's so good.
Stephen Perales, do you think you guys think Barco's red card could be overturned in time? I think it could, but it probably won't, because Disco just don't give a fuck.
They, you know what they should do? You know what they should do? You should still be able to appeal it before the next game. And then if they don't do it in time, then he gets like a bunch of yellow cards added to his allotment before suspension. So instead of like four consecutive yellows suspending it or getting him a game suspension, he gets like six.
Yeah.
Like upping the amount that he can do for his accumulation tally. I don't know.
This episode brought to you by math. Between you and Dan, I can't keep up. I'm just fucking Bradley Cooper and Limitless over here trying to.
Oh, is that movie where the guy becomes limitless?
That's the one.
Oh, good God. I missed you guys. It's been way too long, man. It's like,
all right. What's going on in your lives, boys? What's going on? This soccer talk is fading fast. Tim didn't watch the game. I watched it, but I don't remember half of it.
Oh my gosh.
Dan's always overprepared, and nobody wants to hear him talk for an hour.
No, I think it's just you, Kevin. You don't want to hear me talk.
That's the only opinion that matters.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested to see how...
Whoops. Now Dan's muted.
No, as Kanye West once said, no one man should have all that power. Somebody needs to revoke it from Kevin.
Got the keys to the kingdom.
Jesus, Lord Christ. Yeah, so Santiago Rodriguez, he was someone who Atlanta United was rumored to be looking at in the offseason. But it seemed like NYCFC picked him up, and now he's playing. He's part of the U22 initiative, and he's playing for them. He's been doing okay. Not as good as as kind of all the projections are, but that might just be NYCFC are just shit right now. So
what's up with that team, right? Because I felt like through stretches, and I may be confusing last season with this season, but I feel like through stretches they were in very good form. Like they have a lot of talent on this team. I'm sitting here looking at their roster from top to bottom, and it's pretty damn solid for an MLS team. So I'm sitting here wondering, like, why did they let Dome Torrent walk, right? Like they didn't fire him, right? Like he just came in and coached for a year and left.
Yeah, I heard it was just because of all the owners. Apparently the owners were messing him around, so he didn't like it. But I mean, to your point, Tim, they in the span of like five games, they beat Orlando 5-0, beat Columbus 4-1. They had some pretty good statement wins. I mean, they beat Cincinnati 5-0 at the beginning of the season. So they've had some games where they've scored a lot, but it just this past, like, I guess from the end of August, they've only managed to pull together 2-3 wins.
Yeah, so, it's rough. I mean, it's rough for them. I mean, it's good for us. It's rough for them because I think of them as being not a powerhouse team is not the right term, but you know what I mean? Like they're a perennial power in the East over the past, you know, 5-6 years, I feel like. And just it's weird to see them downtrodden right now, especially after having had, again, good run of form in the beginning of the season. I mean, Carlos Rangel saying they're pretty old, in his opinion. I'm not sure where the age is outside of Maxi Morales, because Maxi Morales is still only, what, early 30s, right? No, I guess he's 34. I'm guessing their back line is probably pretty old between Callens and Cheneau. And
the average age is 25. So, yeah, Callens is 29, Cheneau's 31. Sean Johnson's 32. I thought he was younger than that.
Yeah, I did too.
Gundmundur Thorarinsson is 29.
I have no idea. That's not even those aren't real alphabet letters.
It's not. Yeah, Maxi Morales is 34. Holy
yeah,
moly.
That's crazy. Are you guys going to the game on Wednesday?
I am not. I'm hoping to take the little one to the game next week. For the Rush Union.
For the what?
The Rush Union night.
What is that?
It's so Rush Union is the academy that Chiefs coach Steve coaches at. And my son Walker plays in the academy there.
Gotcha.
Speaking of which, can I keep on talking and be an obnoxious father for a little bit? Well, I'll do so anyway. So I've been trying to work with Walker on his warrior mentality, sort of like every time he gets tackled to just deal with it and just move on rather than just kind of letting it affect his game.
No, so, you play back. What are you talking about? Just deal with him and move on. That's how the British lost an entire part of their civilization.
Well, that's
you guys
what
are
I
like,
mean.
Oh, you guys want to leave? Okay, we'll just deal with it and move on. Well, guess what? You lost.
No, what I mean is like to play through it and not be timid and pull out of tackles and things.
Okay.
That's what I mean. So today, so last weekend, he got a penalty. He got fouled, earned a penalty, went to take it, took a great penalty, but the keeper stood on his head and like dived and made an incredible save. But the thing is, he didn't let it get him down. He just carried on. Then he played the next game and scored his first two goals. So
oh, that's great.
I was really, really proud of him to not
that's two
let
more than I've seen you score, which
the
is
penalty.
Awesome. And I played with you a lot more. Wait,
you squeamy score a goal.
Squeamy
score a goal.
Squid game? Squid game? I think
so. Yeah, remember like that guy hit it and it kind of just glanced off my thigh and happened to
oh,
get
goals
it?
Don't count. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, man. No, that's really great. That's really awesome. So is it just one of the boys are playing?
Oh, yeah. Just one of them right now.
The other one's a rebel.
The other one just hates sports in general. And then the other one's three. So
I don't get it. Why is the three-year-old not playing yet?
Well, I mean, he plays in the backyard with me, but not on a professional team yet.
Level competition, which is nice.
Right. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Level some would say he you know, he's probably the better player.
That's great. That's great. What about you, Tim? What's new in dad talk? This is the girl talk part of the podcast.
Yeah.
Remix songs.
Let's dish. I don't know, man. It's just crazy. It's coming up on, it's been 12 weeks since she was born, which is insane to think about. It's coming up on 3 months, I guess, since we brought her home from the hospital. I got to say, Dan, I don't know if you dealt with this with your boys, but I'm in this stage that makes me very sad already that she doesn't like to sleep on my chest anymore because she associates it with tummy time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She starts crying.
She just gets pissed. She doesn't start crying. She just like wow. puts her head all the way up, says, "Look, I don't need this. Oh, no. Why are you doing this?"
No. It is a short time of window, but that's why you have more kids, Tim.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But no, I totally get it.
Yeah. She can finally fit into some of her Liverpool stuff, so that's good. She's got some Atlanta United stuff that's a little further down the road. But yeah, man, it's sleeping like 6 and 7 hours at a time at night.
That's
which
great.
Is nice. Yeah. Which is awesome. Yeah. Which is more than most American adults, I think, sleep in a night. So I have no complaints. I have no complaints at all. It's awesome. It's awesome. That's why I was a little late holding you guys up because we're doing bath time early and all that stuff. So it's very, very fun and rewarding.
Yeah. All right, let's close this thing out the right way. You guys came for it. You've waited for it. You're edged for it. You know what time it is.
Well, I feel like I've already done it.
That's normally how it goes. Like it happened earlier. You just didn't know
that. Right, yeah.
I've been done for 15 minutes.
You talk about that warrior mentality. Dan just kept going.
Just kind of shrug it off and play through it.
I even went and got a glass of water. You didn't know that.
Oh, boy.
Oof. Oh, that's embarrassing.
For who?
For who?
Me, of course.
Look, man, your strategy clearly works. It's been proven not once, not twice, but at least three times.
That we know of.
Yeah. All right, well. they've been terrible. They have only scored one goal in the past five games. with 53 shots. Thing is, Maxi Morales always makes me worried. It feels like there's a goal coming for them. I mean, they against the Red Bulls, they had a bunch. They had chances where you thought that they were going to be on getting a goal, like getting the ball in behind, because Maxi Morales is just one of the best at distributing and playmaking to his strikers. But if Castellanos and Tejori Shirati and
a punchable face, Castellanos is gotta be the top of my list, man.
Yeah. If they can't get on those balls, then nothing's going to happen. If Jesus Medina is going to stand there like a freaking lemon on the 6-yard line, then there's nothing going
to
happen. So
get on the ball to make it happen. You heard it here first on the download.
So you think if you're an NYCFC fan, you hope that something's going to snap, but you kind of worry about their mental fatigue at this point. Like, can they keep going? I mean, they were as high as third for a while there, and now they've slipped all the way down to eighth, I think, and with out of contention. Red Bulls have caught them up, as Tim was saying earlier. So is this pressure going to be too much for them? Can they perform in front of, what are we going to have, 45,000 there on Wednesday? Well, that will be the alleged attendance.
That'll be the total sold tickets, not the total in the building, but yeah.
Right. So you hope, but either way, our supporter section does a real good job of making a lot of noise going on and putting some intimidation into the opponents. So I think we've got our next three games are at home, I believe.
Miami next, exact same thing, Dan.
Miami next Wednesday, and then Toronto on the 30th. So no game this weekend, right? Just the midweek game.
Yep.
So I mean, on paper, we should win the next three games. So you know, there's 9 points for you. I think we'll drop. I think we'll probably lose to the Red Bulls. And then,
dude, if we pick up four of our last five, I'd be so happy with that.
Yeah.
I honestly think we need to win probably two games. I think I'd
say three.
You
Tim.
Think so?
I think because you got to think like
we're so
at
close.
At least two of those five are teams that are 6-point spreads between Red Bulls and.
But I wonder how all those matchups. So yeah, I don't know. I guess you have to look at the matrix of who's playing who in the last like five games and like how what those possibilities line up to be because I don't know. I don't know that we have to win four out of the five. It would be nice.
No, I think three is going to be the magic number for
and
us.
And I think part of the reason those five teams are sitting or six teams are sitting in there because they're inconsistent, right? Us included. This is like a couple of those teams are really probably going to like falter at the end.
Yeah. Three is the magic number.
Sorry, Kevin, I cut you off very rudely.
No, it's fine.
Very rudely.
Like Brittany S says, if we can just win the home games, I think we're good to go.
So let's say if we win three, do you think that just gets us into the playoffs?
Uh-uh.
And then four gets us home field advantage.
Let me see. Where are we at right now with the standings? Because what are home field are second one, and third, or is it second
and third and fourth? Second, third, fourth. Because number one gets a bye. Yeah,
I think three could get us there, Dan. Just because I really think of those two that we could leap. Between Philly and Orlando, I think Orlando's on the out. I think that Orlando in their last five might win one.
Against who? Montreal. And lose one to Montreal? Because that's the thing that sucks about that scenario too, right? Is that if Montreal beats Orlando both of those times, they could leapfrog us. Like,
I think Orlando could be on the out there.
That's a good point. I could see him losing to Montreal. because they're not going to beat, they're probably not going to beat New England. Columbus are coming into form now, and Nashville right. are just fantastic. Right.
And then so, Philly, you yeah. know, Philly, I think is they've I think that Philly wins at least two, if not three, because they've got Toronto and Cincy in their last five. And then their other three are Minnesota, Nashville, and NYCFC. So that Philly-Nashville game will be really interesting. But like I said, they're winning at least two, if not three. Orlando, one, maybe two. Like I said, if Atlanta can pick up those three, I think that puts them in really, really solid position to jump up to take that third spot. Again, like Tim said, depending on what's happening with these other teams and how they're kind of playing each other. Like DC's got a kind of tough road ahead with Red Bulls, NYCFC, New England. They get Columbus and Toronto for their last game. But yeah, I think three, four certainly seals it, but three sounds perfectly reasonable.
Yeah. So you're thinking Orlando will fall out of the playoffs?
No, I don't think they fall out of the playoffs per se. I guess that also depends on – a lot of these teams are going to just kind of eat up each other, you know. So I don't know how all that shakes out. If it's a lot of splits between these teams that are playing – like if Orlando splits the two games they've got against Montreal, you know, that doesn't really pick them up or drop them so much. It's the other ones that may allow someone else to leapfrog them. So I don't know that Orlando drops out of playoffs entirely. I think that they could slip from second or what third down to, you know, fifth or sixth.
I think of the teams that could potentially fall out of the playoffs, I think Orlando could fall out, and I think DC could fall out, because DC have New England, NYCFC, Red Bulls, Columbus, and then they finish up with Toronto. So I don't know. I could see Orlando falling out and someone like Columbus or Red Bulls getting in.
Yeah, I think – I mean, Red Bulls are certainly the team poised to get in there, but like you said, all of their recent surge has come at the behest of one
NYCFC, yeah.
Not behest. That's not the right word, but – the downfall of one team, I guess, with NYCFC.
Yeah. You could just as easily see Montreal drop out of the playoffs too. And you could see Orlando with those two wins, if they get them over Montreal, jumping up into.
Yeah. Like I said, it's really, really interesting to see how the East is going to shake out.
You know, I said earlier that Nashville had the second spot locked up, but I didn't realize they're only on 48 points. So like that one game with Orlando would swing that between the two teams, because Orlando has them on wins. Yeah. So that's pretty crazy. This is going to be fun. So it's every playoff spot that plays in the first round is up for grabs the next 5 weeks. It's fucking nuts.
Yep.
All right. And New England's going to lose in the second round. So it's
yeah, I totally agree with that. We'll probably knock them out.
Yep.
Any last comments before we sign off, boys?
I missed you guys.
Missed you too, man.
Yeah, I missed you too, guys. I really did. What are you dressing up as for Halloween?
I don't know. We haven't really talked about it. Got to figure that out.
Do you do Halloween?
Yeah.
As adults?
Yeah. We did.
We don't believe in it.
Stacey and I did coffee and donuts. Or coffee and she. Or, fuck, I am all over the place. She was a tray of donuts and I was a sheriff's deputy with like a big mullet wig and like a big pot belly last year. It's fun.
Nice. Well, maybe on Monday we can, after Halloween, we can all do this in our Halloween costumes.
Yeah. Yeah.
My birthday suit.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Score predictions for Wednesday.
There we go.
Oh, that's a good call. For Wednesday, I will say 2-1 Atlanta. I got to find the post-it notes to write these down. Go ahead.
It's funny that he acts like he has written these down in the past.
I'm coming with receipts, Daniel.
3-0 Atlanta. I'm going with the Elliott Beavens special today.
Elliott Beavens special. Probably. I'm going to go with 2-0
Atlanta. That's the Richard Gordon special, the 2-0.
Oh, yeah. There it is. And an Anthony Neitzel.
Yeah.
So I am thinking that it's going to be, I think Bello gets on the score sheet. And Alan Franco is going to come in on a set piece.
Who you got, Tim?
I got 3-0 Atlanta. And this is free. Moreno, Araujo, and Joseph.
All right. I'm going to say Lennon. And Araujo. All right. Find all of us on the internet. Dan, where can they find you?
You can find me at DanGMS or to the Paradan on the Peloton, and we can work out together.
Don't do it. It's not worth your time. I see his fitness tracker every day.
Do some rolling.
Pretty weak.
Lift some 5-pound weights.
Tim, what about you?
I don't know.
All right.
Find me at Tim Herb on Instagram and see old shit that I posted, but yeah.
Find me on Instagram as well at the architect. That's the underscore ARC number 1TECT collectively at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled B and the number 4. Website dues are coming up. Be sure to find us on Cash App. That's $ H before D, I think. I can't remember.
Yeah, no, that sounds right.
Thank you so much for tuning in, however you found us. We'll see you next week. As always, be home before dark.
Awesome. Maybe we can hit up trains for a donation.